It's always important to bear in mind that the internet does not create new human behaviors. What it does is it molds and shapes them. It can exacerbate them. It can diminish them. It can do pretty much anything, but it has to have the clay to work with. And the clay is human nature, our behavior as animals. And when you observe things such as OnlyFans or the craziness on social media, these are perfect examples of behaviors that are exacerbated by the internet, but they've always been there. So when we talk about parasocial relationships, we're not talking about anything new. It seems very new, because when you look at the internet landscape, you see parasocial relationships extant to a degree that has never existed before, for obvious reasons. But if you go back even a few decades, even to the mid-20th century, there existed too parasocial relationships that were a little bit different, but they were the same thing. Young teenage girls idolizing pop stars or rock stars and dreaming of going out on dates with them. That too is a type of parasocial relationship. It's one-sided. For those of you who are old enough might remember the shows on Sundays, the televangelists who would be talking to you from the television. I have no doubt that some people 40, 50 years ago thought they were being spoken to and thought that they had an actual relationship with the pastor who was speaking to them. Now, the prefix para stems from the ancient Greek, of course, and it usually means adjacent, besides. And so when you see it in English constructions or any construction of European language for that matter, what it means is something that is not direct. Parallel, paraphenomenon, paraphernalia, and parasocial. So what typifies a parasocial relationship? A parasocial relationship is a relationship that is really just cultivated on one side and largely imagined. It's a human relationship that either largely or entirely lacks in mutuality. Now, sometimes there's a bit of a tenuous connection. When you think of streamers or fans and OnlyFans that are paying, say, girls exorbitant amounts of money, there's a type of connection there. And it is a two-way street, to be sure, but it's not the two-way street that we think about conventionally when we think of how relationships are cultivated amongst human beings. So most of this isn't really anything new, which is to say it existed in other forms in the past, limited, of course, by technology. And the phenomenon I'm talking about today isn't necessarily anything new either, but I would argue that the internet father-daddy issue that is emergent amongst young men is something that is, in some sense, newer because in its form, it didn't exist before. There's no internet father-daddy approximation in a rock star or a pop star or a televangelist or anything like that, because the phenomenon in and of itself targets something very specific in human nature and specifically in young male nature. And I think we can credit the emergence and the proliferation of so many different gurus of all bents and stripes, all more or less pushing the same junk to this phenomenon. When you think about Jordan Peterson, for example, who did allegedly come to prominence because of his resistance to Bill 16 in Canada, that really is a drop in the ocean if you think about it. What really brought him fame and what eventually sort of anointed him as this savior figure and this expert on basically every matter that occurs in the world was his rhetoric concerning the plight of young men, the whole idea of cleaning your room, of improving yourself. Apparently, because a lot of these guys had never heard that before, they were never actually or actively encouraged to, quote-unquote, improve themselves. And around that time, roughly 8 years ago, you could see a whole lot of people were following suit. And so self-improvement has always been a thing, and it's always directed, obviously, towards the acquisition of females. You don't improve yourself for nobody, and people who claim that are just lying. You don't acquire status, money, improve your body or looks for the sake of nothing. You do it for the sake of women. And so self-improvement, even the self-improvement that is offered under the guise of some sort of wise religious figure such as Jordan Peterson, is basically advice to young men as to how to acquire women, companionship, relationships, mates, wives, whatever. That's all self-improvement is. Yes, people rant and ramble on about the fact that you're also improving yourself and you're meditating and how you feel about yourself, but you don't do that in a vacuum. So I would pose the question to you or anyone who wants to challenge this view, would there be a point to self-improvement if you lived on a desert isle in the middle of nowhere. And let's say in the scenario you had all of your existential needs met. Would there be a point to self-improve if there are no people to impress, and specifically no women? Almost certainly not. But it's important to point this out because the phenomenon of the internet father is, on the one hand, this phenomenon of this is what you need to do to improve yourself, and once you improve yourself, you'll be in a better position to acquire a female. But alongside that exists the question of, what do I do with my life? Am I just existing? Where am I going? What's the point of it all? Now, I would say, generally speaking, there are two types of men. Generally speaking, there are going to be exceptions. The smaller fraction of men, the minority of men, are men that are actually self-directed, in the sense that they're driven not to achieve for the sake of status and the usual stuff, but because they have a profound interest in something. Think of a Nikola Tesla or an Isaac Newton, classic examples from history. They're almost autistic in their pursuit of knowledge or the thing that interests them, and the fuel to do these things is their interest. They're passionate about something, they're deeply, deeply driven to understand things, whatever that might be. That is a small minority of men. They exist, but it's a small minority. Most men, I'd argue the vast majority of men, do things in a long-term, sustained manner for the sake of reproductive success. Most men do not engage in long-term activities, long-term studies, long-term X, Y, Z, take your pick of whatever that might be, for the sake of pure passion and interest. It's ancillary. Yes, they might have some interest in it, but what sustains them ultimately in their so-called interest is the reproductive drive. It A, helps them to acquire a female partner, ideally, and B, once you've acquired said female partner, reproduce, and then the male can then provide for his offspring in this manner. Most men are wired this way. They have interests, but the interests are never enough to sustain themselves on their own. They need the reproductive incentive. And if you've asked the question about why so many young men in particular these days are susceptible to the many gurus out there, and the father figure gurus are like a many-headed hydra. There's so many different types. You have the bathrobe man types, aka Hamza, who talk endlessly about self-improvement, meditation, lifting weights, and try to scam you directly by selling you so-called online internet university programs that are absolutely not worth the money they're claiming they are. You have ironic fecal matter posters such as Andrew Tate, and I do think ultimately he's a fecal matter poster, who also has run a bunch of scams. And then you have the highbrow, highfalutin types such as Jordan Peterson, who's creating his own university coursework that he's overseeing directly. And he's selling you something as well that's also not particularly effective for the problem of solving reproductive issues, but it's fancy at least. And all these guys have big egos, so they come off rather easily as convincing. Now, a lot of people will argue that the reason why so many young men are susceptible to these parasocial father relationships is that their own fathers failed them. But that is not true. Not in the main, I would say. I've talked to a lot of young men. They've had perfectly normal, acceptable fathers. It's just that there's nothing their fathers could do to help an average guy navigate the mating market. And had their own fathers existed in this current timeline and were forced to navigate the mating market, they too would be facing the same issues and problems. But other than that, these fathers are often described as perfectly fine, even good fathers that raised their sons well, and they undertook many things together, and they even taught their sons a lot. It's just that these fathers are not equipped to teach their sons about the mating market, generally speaking, not in its current form. Which is why, again, ultimately, all of this online paternalism and all this online guruism manifested as some male daddy issue is, in my view, after having looked at this phenomenon for a very long time, not so much a daddy issue, and really, as it often is, a reproductive issue. But the reproductive issue is largely detached from the fathers that these guys claimed they didn't have. Because it might have been the case at some point in time that fathers taught their sons about women, what they had to do. But so much of that knowledge and wisdom is inapplicable these days. After all, what is a 50-something father going to tell his 22-year-old son about the dating market when so much of it takes place online and everything is just infused with social media these days? And I can take an example from my own life, although I'm a much older generation, just to show you how oftentimes you can have good intentions, but unfortunately those good intentions and the help you seek to offer with those good intentions, how these things are often just not applicable, even if there are good intentions behind them. Okay, my father's in his mid to late 80s, and I remember in the mid-90s when I attended university that I really needed to get some sort of writing paraphernalia. A laptop or even a word processor would have been better than nothing. And really small example here, but my father insisted to me that I would be able to handwrite my reports, my essays, my papers, and that would be fine. I could handwrite them, hand it into the professors, and it would be perfectly acceptable. And I told him that no professor anywhere in any department at the university would accept handwritten papers, handwritten work, and that by the mid-90s, the world had moved past this in the sense that there's nothing official found in some form of handwritten medium. Well, my father was incredulous. He's a good guy, he had good intentions, but he didn't understand the landscape anymore. A much more minor issue, obviously, but it's not dissimilar from the current issue. So what you really have is not a problem of fathers necessarily, although I'm sure there's some issues with some fathers, but as always, an issue that goes back to reproduction. These gurus from Jordan Peterson to Andrew Tate to Bathrobe Man, to take your pick of any of them, there's so many of them, these dozens and dozens of them, they're not really substitute fathers. They're guys who have the, you could say, mendacious balls to claim they understand the mating market today, and they can tell you how to navigate it, and if you listen to them, you will be able to acquire a mate. That's all they're saying, even if they add extra stuff. So the parasocial relationship to so-called father figures online for young men with so-called daddy issues is, at the end of the day, just the basic reproductive problem that virtually all men face, masked as something else. And it should be glaringly obvious, but obviously these gurus don't care about these men. They're just looking to exploit them. Anyway, as always, thank you for tuning in. Many special thanks to my patrons on Patreon, my donors on PayPal. You guys are the best, indispensable to the channel's existence. Much appreciated. And if you can leave a like, comment, share, and subscribe, be much appreciated. If I'm still alive, I'll check out next time. Until then, may the gods watch over you. Bye-bye for now. If you liked this video, please like, share, and subscribe. And if you enjoy my content, please consider making a donation or becoming a patron. Thanks for watching.